And so we know that many are traveling, but we are always thankful for those who are able to be here with us this morning. I want you to open your Bibles again to Jonah chapter 1 as we begin this series today. And as we begin, I want to kind of start off with a pop quiz. I want to see if your minds are sharp this morning. So I'm going to start off with a phrase. I'm going to start off with the beginning of the phrase, and I want to see if you can finish it, okay? It's very simple. Don't get real deep spiritually. It's not that complicated. I'm going to start off with a phrase that I want to see if you can finish it to see if we're on the same page. Amen? All right. The first one is Adam and? Good. Cain and? Noah and? All right. We lost a little bit. Mephibosheth and? That was a trick question. Don't worry about that one. David and? Samson and? What comes to your mind when you hear Jonah and? Now, everybody, most people have heard about Jonah and the whale, right? And most people think that the book of Jonah is about a man being swallowed by a fish and getting regurgitated. That's what they think the predominant thing about Jonah is, Jonah and this whale getting swallowed by a whale. But what you may find interesting is that the Bible never says that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, right? We're going to talk about that a little later. But today we start our series on the book of Jonah. Who is Jonah? Why is Jonah, the book of Jonah, in the Bible at all? Is it just about a man being swallowed by a fish? Why was he swallowed by the fish in the first place? Many times if you ask people, why was Jonah swallowed? They can tell you he was swallowed by the fish, but I have no idea why. I guess God was just mean. But today we start our series on the book of Jonah, and there is a wealth of truth that God would have us to know. This series is entitled simply Jonah and God's Amazing Grace. Today, we're going to start off with Jonah chapter 1, and we're just going to look at verses 1 through 4, and the title of this sermon today is just Stop Running from the Call. Look at your neighbor and say, Stop running from the call. Look in your Bibles in Jonah chapter 1, and I want us to read together just verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. When you look there at the text, the Bible says the first thing is, in verse 1, it says the word of the Lord came. What does that mean when the Bible says the word of the Lord came? If you read the Old Testament, many times you will see the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to this person. Well, what it simply means is that a prophetic revelation came to Jonah, or that God spoke to him. The Bible doesn't tell us how God spoke to him. In the Old Testament, God spoke in many different ways. He spoke through dreams, he spoke through visions, and sometimes he spoke audibly to people, but it doesn't tell us how he did it, but it says that he spoke to a man named Jonah. Do you see that? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The question then becomes is, who is Jonah? What do we know about Jonah, and where did he come from? Why is this book about a man named Jonah, who many believe wrote it, who is he and where did he come from? When you look there, it says that Jonah was the son of Amittai. Do you see that? Now, that may seem like a very insignificant statement, but that statement opens up the doors to figuring out who Jonah is. For the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 14, if you research your Bible and study a little bit, we find this phrase, the son of Amittai, used again. In 2 Kings chapter 14, if you look, I believe I have that on one of the scriptures there. 2 Kings chapter 14, beginning in verse 23, it reads this. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He restored the territory of Israel from the entrance of Hamath to the sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, watch this, which he had spoken through his servant, what? Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet who was from Gath Hepher. Now, you know, before I get to any points, to me, when you come to church, you should learn something about the Bible. Amen. So before, I got to provide the context of where I'm going in order for you to understand. So from that passage there, we can learn three things about Jonah. Number one, he is the son of a man named Amittai from the city of Gath Hepher. So from that phrase alone, we are able to determine where Jonah came from Gath Hepher, which was a city about 2 miles northeast of Nazareth. The second thing we know about Jonah is that he is a prophet of God. So who is Jonah? He is a prophet of God that lived during the time of Jeroboam. Do you see it says there that talks about Jeroboam? He's prophesying during that time, which scholars date around 793 to 752 BC or before Jesus Christ was born. Thirdly, which is very, very important to understand, the Bible says that God had spoken to him before and used him to prophesy on behalf of Israel. So we know that he is a prophet, we know where he lived, but we also know that God had spoken to him before. He's not a new prophet. The Bible says that he prophesied to Israel that the coast would be restored to them from the entrance of Hamath unto the sea of Arabah. Most scholars believe that what happened in 2 Kings happened before you get to the book of Jonah. So they believe that this happened in 2 Kings, that he had already prophesied before you ever get to the book of Jonah, all right? So that's the context. Now, so God comes to one of his prophets. Do you understand? He's coming to one of his prophets, someone that he had already used before, someone that he had already spoken to before, and he gives them some very clear instructions. When you open the book of Jonah, it may seem like it's out of sync. You know, the God just says, arise and go. But you have to understand, this was already one of his prophets. He had already used them before. And so God comes and he gives them these very clear instructions. Notice what it says. He says, arise. What does that mean? It means get up. He says, now I'm not trying to be deep, just follow along. He says, arise, get up. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Do you see that? And he makes it clear, just in case you got it twisted up between this Nineveh and another Nineveh. He says, no, I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city. Do you see it there? Just so he couldn't miss it. Later we find out in Jonah chapter 3 that Nineveh was a big, huge city. In chapter 3 it says that it took 3 days to journey through it. Scholars tell us that Nineveh had walls that were 100 feet high and that the walls were so thick that 3 chariots could ride on top of them around. So he sends them. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he says, I want you to go to that great city and I want you to cry out against it. Well, what does he mean when he says, I want you to go cry out against it? Does it mean he wants them to go to Nineveh and he wants them to cry in the city? No, that ain't what he's talking about. He says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and you can get a clue of what he's asking them to do, because it says, I want you to go to Nineveh, cry out against it. Why? Because their wickedness has come up before me. So he told them, go to Nineveh, cry out against it, because their iniquity, their wickedness, their lawlessness has come before me. And because their wickedness or their lawlessness has come up before me, I want you to go and cry out against the city. I want you to go and preach against the city. I want you to go and declare to them their sins that are coming upon them. I want you to go and warn this city that their wickedness has come before God and that judgment is on the way if you don't change. Do you understand what's going on? All right, so this would appear to be a standard operation, right? This is nothing new. This is what prophets did. God came and told them what he wanted them to do. If you know anything about prophets in the Old Testament, there's at least 3 things that prophets always did. Number 1, prophets were always singled out or chosen from among people. They were always entrusted with a message from God, and their responsibility or their role was to go to whoever God told them to go to and declare whatever it is that he said. That was your job as a prophet. That was your calling. That was your job. That's what you were designed to do, right? So this would seem like a basic thing. He had already done this before. God says, I want you to go and preach to these people. But the Bible says, if you notice, that God told him to do it, but the prophet, the man that God had used before, the one who his whole soul job was to go declare the message, when you look there in verse 3, it says, instead of suiting up and heading to Nineveh, Joseph rode up and fled to Tarshish. Jonah, do you see that there? Wait a minute. The role of the prophet was to just go tell people what God says. Very simple. He had done it before. The Bible says, but when God told him to go to Nineveh, instead of Jonah suiting up and going to them, he went to a place called Tarshish. Now, you have to understand, just so we don't get into a whole lot of geography, Nineveh was to the east. Tarshish was as far as you could go to the west. So instead of Jonah going this way, he went to the very farthest place where he could go to get away. Why did he do it? Because he was trying to avoid the call of what God had told him to do. Watch this. How many of you know that it's amazing what we'll do to avoid the call of God on our lives? Think about what he did. Wait a minute now. He lives in, what was it, Gath Hef, or whatever it was. He had to travel from there to Joppa. Then he had to pay tribute. Do you see it there? He had to actually pay money to catch a ship to go all the way to Tarshish. Why? So that he could avoid what God had told him to do. How many of you know that Jonah ain't the only one who tried to avoid what God told him to do? Some of us in here right now are no different than Jonah. You're doing everything you can to avoid what God has told you to do. The amens that went down. When God has called you to do something, you got an excuse every time God calls you and asks you to do something. Every time God challenges you to go further, you always got a reason why you can't do it. But the Bible says that Jonah ran, and here's the question that we must ask. Listen, why would a prophet whose soul's job is to declare what God has said, why would he run in the first place? Well, listen, you don't have to guess. He tells you exactly why he ran. In Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, listen, all this is headed somewhere. Jonah chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, I want you to notice what he says. He says, but it displeased Jonah. This is after Jonah had preached, went to Nineveh, and God delivered and forgave the people. In Jonah chapter 4, 1 through 2, it says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore, I fled previously to Tarshish. Why? For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Watch this. So you got to understand what's going on with Jonah. He didn't want the people in Nineveh to repent. Watch this. He knew that there was a slim chance that the people would repent and God would forgive them, but he never wanted to go to Nineveh and preach the word because he didn't want the people to repent. Watch this. So the question then becomes, why would a prophet, a man of God, whose sole job is to help people get saved, why wouldn't he want to go and preach the word so that these people could be saved? Well, let me give you a couple reasons, and all this is important, which where I'm going is. One of the reasons was because Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, which was one of Israel's most fierce enemies. They were brutal enemies. Some scholars tell us that Israel was under the subjection of Assyria and that Syria was requiring them to pay tribute. So they were sworn enemies. And how many know that we don't always get along with people that's an enemy? Right? So he didn't want to go minister to his enemy. The second reason is the Bible says that Nineveh was wicked and vile. The people in Nineveh was off the chain. They were wicked, very, very wicked people. Do you see it says there in verse 2 where God says their wickedness has come up before me? What type of wickedness was in Nineveh? Nahum, the prophet in the Bible, gives us some instructions on the type of people Nineveh was. Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, gives us this picture. Notice what it says. Woe to the bloody city. He says, it is all full of lies and robbery. Its victims never depart. Speaking of Nineveh, the noise of a whip and the noise of rattling wheels, of galloping horses, of clattering chariots, horsemen charged with bright sword and glittering spear. There is a multitude of slain, a great number of bodies. Do you see this? Countless corpses. They stumble over the corpses because of the multitude of the harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. So if you see this there, Nineveh is a place because it's full of wickedness. Watch this. And Jonah didn't like the people there. He didn't like them. In fact, he wanted nothing to do with them. In fact, Jonah felt like everybody there deserved what they were going to get. He felt that they deserved judgment. He wanted nothing to do with them. He didn't want to be bothered with them. He did not want to go down there to them. But how many of you know that? How many of you know that God is good? Anybody glad that God ain't like Jonah? Anybody glad that you're not God? Because the truth of the matter is, if some of us was God, many of the people that made it in would have never made it in. Tell the truth now. If you were God, that ex-boyfriend you used to date, he wouldn't have made it in, would he? If you were God, that boss who tried you, he would have never made it in. Watch this. Jonah had already decided that the people in Nineveh didn't deserve to get saved. But how many know that God decided that they did deserve, and he decided to preach the gospel to them anyway? That goes against this notion that God is sitting in heaven and all he wants to do is just judge people down here on earth. The Bible says that even while they were still in their sins, Christ died for us. So even though Nineveh was sickened and wicked and vile and they deserved nothing, the Bible says that God thought enough of them to send a prophet to them to warn them before judgment came. But Jonah didn't want to do it, and the Bible says that he ran. Now listen, what can we learn? That's the context. What can we learn from Jonah about the calling of God? What can we learn from Jonah about when God calls us in our own lives of what we should do? Number one, the first thing that we need to learn is that sometimes your calling will require you to minister to or serve people you don't like. Watch this. Listen, I know this message is for somebody. Sometimes your calling is going to require you to deal with people, to minister to people and serve with people you don't like. Watch this. There are some of you in here right now that you know, that you know, that you know, God has called you to serve in some capacity. And the main reason you're not serving is because you can't stand so-and-so. Oh, man, the amens that went down. Okay. There are some people in here right now that you know, think about it, how many of you would be honest? There are some of you in here who knows that God has a calling on your life. And the main reason you're not serving is because you don't like dealing with church folk. You don't like Sister So-and-so. You don't like John. You don't like Deacon Cooper. And some of that I understand. You don't like. there's somebody that you don't like, that you don't want to deal with. Listen, but there's one of the things you have to understand about a calling from God is that sometimes it will require you to deal with some people you don't like. Sometimes it's going to require you to deal with some people you can't stand. Sometimes it's going to require you to deal with some people who are wicked like the people of Nineveh. people who smile in your face while they stabbing you in your. People who are messy. Y'all know what I mean by messy. I know you do. People who got drama with them all the time. Everywhere they go, they always causing problems. People who always show up late to the meeting but didn't want to control the meeting. Come on, somebody. People who so bossy, they bossy all the time. Nobody wants to deal with them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Watch this. But in order for you to walk in the calling that God has, you got to understand that that requires you to deal with some folks sometimes that you don't like. You're not the only one that have to deal with messy people. Ask Moses. Moses had to deal with them complaining, aggravating Israelites for 40 years. Can you imagine dealing with that mess every day? I don't like chicken. I want quail. I don't want quail. I want this. I don't like bread from heaven. It ain't sweet enough. It ain't tart. It ain't this. You know Moses was tired of them people because every day he was in there praying to God, do something with these people. I can't stand them. Go ask Joseph. You think you're the one that got it bad? Ask Joseph. Joseph was forced to have to minister to his own brothers who sold him into slavery. Watch this. You think you got it bad? You think you got to deal with somebody bad? Imagine having to go work with and serve with the people who sold you into slavery in the first place, and all these nights you spent in jail was because of these trifling people. But sometimes your calling will require you to deal with some people you don't like. Ask Jesus, who had to deal with the know-it-all Pharisees. Anybody having to work with somebody who know it all? I mean, every time you go to a meeting, they know everything. They ain't even worked in that field and they know everything. They're an expert on everything. You don't even work out in the yard. Let me tell you how to cut the yard. You don't even know how to crank up the lawnmower. Listen, but you got to learn that your calling is going to require you to deal with some folks sometime that you don't like. The question becomes, how do we deal with people and fulfill the calling that I don't even like being around? Anybody want to know? Watch this. Number one, you got to recognize that the calling of God on your life or the assignment is not about you. Watch this. I'm preaching to myself on this one now because God been dealing with me on this. The calling that God has for you is not about you. Now, I want you to put your thinking caps on for a second. Why did Jonah not want to go and preach to the people in Nineveh? This ain't the hard part of the sermon. Why did Jonah, listen, we just spent the last few minutes. Why didn't he want to go and preach to the people in Nineveh? He didn't think that they deserved it. He didn't like them. What else? They were his enemies and he didn't like his enemies. What else? He wanted God's judgment on them. Watch this. All of these reasons were what Jonah. Oh, I hope you didn't miss it. Watch this. See, the calling had nothing to do with Jonah. The calling had to do with what God wanted to do for the people. But Jonah started making the calling about. Watch this. And whether you know it or not, some of us in here are just like Jonah. You making the calling that God has for you all about. What amens that went down. Wait a minute. You know that God has called you to do something, but I don't like dealing with them people. I don't like how they do things. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't like how messy they are. I don't like that I have to inconvenience myself to come down to a meeting. I don't like the day that they have the meeting on. I don't like having to miss days of my life or days of living or wonder world, whatever. What's the show? Days of Our Lives. I don't like missing Housewives of Atlanta or Mothers of Atlanta. because I have to miss it, and I don't like that. How many of you know that, that's for many of us, that's why you're not doing your calling, right? Listen, you got to understand that when God calls you, it has nothing to do with you. See, one of the main reasons many of us aren't serving and fulfilling the call is one word. You know what that word is? Pride, selfishness. What is selfishness? Selfishness says, selfishness is a preoccupation with three things: me, myself. How many know that for many of us, everything revolves around me? How I like it, how I want things to go, the songs that I like sung, the way how I want the church service to go. It's too long. It's too short. I don't want to work for my car. Y'all need a golf cart. Bring me up here. All these different things. And before you know it, everything is about me. How many know that we live in a society where everything is geared to be about me? People serve nowadays not because they want to serve, but because they want to see how what they serve benefits me. So you see it, people sometimes go into pastoring not because they like people, not because they love people and want to build up the kingdom, but because they want to be like Jakes. Y'all know that's the truth. You got churches popping up all on every corner, not because people want to build up the kingdom, but because they want to have this image of being like Jakes without understanding what he went through to get to where he is. I've met him. I know. The man went through poverty. He went through his church breaking down, digging ditches, no money in his budget, him and his wife struggling and doing all this type of stuff. And now that he's reached someplace, everybody thinks that it's so simple. And everybody wants to be him, but as he said, I believe he's true. If you were under the pressure that he had to bear on his shoulders, it would crush you. Because until you go through something, you can't manage what it is that God has. Y'all know it's the truth. People come and serve as an usher not because they want to help people in, it's because they want to be in control. Why? Because it's all about me. People want to sing in the choir or be on the praise team. Not because they want to worship. It's because they want to be seen. Amen's that went down. Listen, if you're not careful, you will make the calling of God about you. Here's the thing I want to tell you. The first thing is, if you're going to obey the calling of God, the very first thing you have to do is learn that it's not about you and to learn how to deny yourself. Watch this. This is for somebody. The calling that God has for you is not about you. Listen to Matthew 16, verse 24. Notice what it says. Jesus says, if anybody is going to come after me, do you see that? He says, before you do anything else, if anybody's going to follow me, which is the first thing before you do anything else, if anybody's going to come after me or follow me or hear my calling, the first thing that you must be willing to do is you must what? Do you see that? He says, the very first thing that you have to understand with coming and following me and doing something for me is it's not about you. He says, deny yourself, take up your, how many know that your cross may be different than mine? The people you got to deal with may be different than me. The way you serve may be different from everybody else. He says, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and then go. The problem with us, with many of us in our calling is, you're not willing to deny yourself. I can tell you from experience, before I got into pastoring, I had the same problem. My daddy tried to get me to come into the ministry for years. He tried to get me to become a pastor in 2002, right? And if you know anything about me, I had been in the insurance industry since I was 17 with the same company, right? So after working for a company for 22 years, If you've been doing your job, then you should be doing pretty good. Okay, I was doing very well. I was making good money. I was progressing up the leadership chart. I mean, everything was open to me. I understood what I was doing. I had learned how things work. Everything was going good. And he kept coming to me saying, son, God is calling you to the ministry. And I said, the devil is a liar. No. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Things are going so good to me. I see what you're dealing with. I don't want to mess with them people. I don't want that drama in my life. And not only that, y'all can't pay me like I'm getting paid right now. I got bills. See, some of y'all, if you don't know me, if you don't know my wife and I, whatever it is, you may look and say, oh, my God, you know, the church must be paying them a lot of money. Negative. I speak that into existence. Because the truth of the matter is, everything that we had before I ever became a pastor here at the church. Right? I didn't come to, listen, it may sound wrong, but when I came to the church, I didn't gain money. I left money on the table. Now, let me say it this way. I don't want to in any way twist that in some kind of way to make it seem like I lost coming to Christ and doing something for Christ, because he makes up in other ways, right? But my point of it is, I struggled with ever leaving my job because I was only thinking about how that was going to affect. And it never came to me that the calling had nothing to do with me. It had something that God wanted to do in the ministry here. Right? And until you get it to where the calling that God has is not about you, but about him, you're never going to accept the calling. The second thing that you have to do if you're going to walk in your calling, this is for somebody, is that you got to change the way how you think about your calling. In other words, your calling is not to glorify or satisfy you, but to help somebody else. Look here in Philippians chapter 2. I guess the scripture verses are not. Philippians chapter 2, read this together with me. Notice what it says. Let nothing be done through. Stop. Let nothing be done through. Do you see that? Watch this. There's nothing wrong with ambition. There's nothing wrong with trying to exceed and excel and do great things. The question is, the problem is, selfish ambition. Everything is about me. I want to be on top. I want to be the leader. I better say that in church. Oh, because see, the reason why there's so much conflict is because everybody wants to be the, man, I wish somebody would be honest in here. Everybody got to be the leader. Everybody has to give the direction. Watch this. And it's a selfishness that's there that stops the calling from working. Watch this. He says, don't do nothing in selfish ambition and conceit, or another word is arrogance. How many of you know that we got a lot of arrogant people? He says, but in lowliness of your thinking must be lowliness. Let each esteem or build up others better than yourself. Go to the next one. He says, let each of you look out what? How many know that's not easy? How many know normally the primary thing you're looking out for, everything revolves around how it works for? And he says, no. Don't do that. He says, don't look out just for your own interest, but think about other people. Let that sink in. Let me explain that. So in other words, he says, when you're serving, think of it this way. If you don't take the calling from God, see, a lot of times we think of it as, I don't really want to do the calling. I don't really want to do all that. I'm much more comfortable sitting down, whatever, whatever. But I want you to think of it this way. See, that's a self-interest. How, if you don't accept the calling, how does that affect other people? Watch this. So if God has called you to do something and you don't accept the calling, how might that affect the people that God has called you to reach in the first place? See, a lot of times you're only thinking about me, how this affects me. But what about the children that God called you to minister to? Right? Come on, somebody. How does what you do affect other people? He says, don't just focus on what you want. Think of other people. Watch this. So when you're serving with people that you don't like and you can't stand. Come on, somebody. How many know that sometimes when you get in those meetings, everything becomes about what I like and what I want? But he says, listen, instead of making everything about your interests and what you like, why don't you start thinking about how the other person feels and what they like? Man, the amens that went down. I must have hit some chords in here today. He says, how does what you do affect other people? It can't just be about yourself, right? So number one, he says that you got to make it and deny yourself. He says, number two, you got to think about somebody else. But then number three, you have to purpose in your calling. If you're going to fulfill your calling, purpose that everything that you do is not about people, but it's about God. Amen. Can I tell you something? One of the main reasons that people quit and walk away from their calling is because they lose focus on who they're really serving in the first place. Amen. Watch this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, notice what it says. Therefore, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you, what do you do? Watch this. He says, everything that you're doing has nothing to do with the people. See, Jonah lost track. He wasn't going to Israel, to Nineveh to preach to the people or anything. He was going there because he was working for the person who sent him there in the first place. And he lost track. He got mixed up in his reasoning for doing stuff. God says, everything that you do has nothing to do with any of the people. It has everything to do with me. So when Sandra is around there acting crazy, like she done lost her mind, yelling at everybody, y'all better get them notes. Y'all better get them notes. Y'all ain't singing them notes right. The reason why sometimes you walk away is because you think you're serving. It ain't got nothing to do with Sandra. The reason why you're there is you're serving him. Watch this. You know what happens when you start getting your mind on him? Watch this. Here's a challenge. If you get your mind off of everybody else and get it on him, watch this. You recognize that everything don't have to be your way. You know why? Because it's no longer about you. See, when the onus is on him, it's not my way that's important. It's the best way that becomes important. Is anybody getting anything from this? Stop making it about you and what you want and start pointing it back to him. You got it? Third thing, I'm about to close with this. Let's close with this because we'll pick this up next week. Final thing is that whenever you don't obey the calling God has for you, there's consequences. Okay? Sometimes we miss over this. Watch this. In verse 2, the Bible says that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. In verse 3, I'm paraphrasing, the Bible says that Jonah fled and he went the other way. Notice what it says in verse 4. Do y'all got your Bibles? Can you read it? What does it say? Chapter 1, verse 4, it says that the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, but y'all should have it, that the Lord sent a wind. Okay, do you see that? Watch this. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't look too deep. You don't need no PhDs or nothing. Let's just think obviously. Who sent the storm? Okay. The Bible says that God sent the wind, right? The wind on the water created the storm, and then the storm on the water is what was threatening the ship, right? God sent the storm. Here's the question. Why did God send the storm? Why did God send the wind in the first place? Do you see that? Wait a minute. I'm just telling you, you read it. Why did God send the storm? After Jonah ran, if you read it carefully, the Bible says, I believe it says, then God sent a wind. Everybody with me? So Jonah decided he wasn't going and he was going to run. And the Bible says that God sent the wind. Why did God send the wind? Because Jonah was being disobedient and not doing what God had called him and told him to go do. Can I tell you something? Sometimes some of the storms in your life has nothing to do with the devil. Hear me. Sometimes, you know, I know everything is the devil's fault. Everything that happens is the devil. The devil's attacking me. He's doing everything is about the devil. But some storm, look, that's why I'm asking you to read it. The Bible says the devil didn't send the wind. God sent the wind. And why did God send the wind? Because Jonah was running from what he told him to do. Here's a question. Could some of the storms in your life right now that you're facing be because you're not being obedient to the call of God? Just something to think about. Watch this. I meet people that are always broke. I didn't say you. I didn't say anything about you. So don't. I didn't say nobody. I just said from time to time I meet people who are always broke. Watch this. It don't matter whether they pay something off. It doesn't matter whether they get a better paying job. It doesn't matter where they, whatever's going on. They always struggling. Like they always barely just got enough. I mean, I'm living, I'm paying my bills, but I just don't have anything abundant. Can I ask you something? Could that storm be because you have not been obedient to the calling of God to tithe? Oh, no, Pastor, that ain't what it is right there. It's the devil attacking me. It's the devil. Oh, I understand. Listen, there are some storms that are coming. Has nothing to do with the devil. Watch this. Some of us are marriages. We're depressed. We got stuff going on in our lives. Watch this. And you're praying. But can I tell you something? Could that storm be because you're not being obedient to the call from God to join a small group so that he can help deliver you out of that stuff? See, sometimes you're praying to the God that you're running away from. And that's why you're not getting the answer. When God calls you, if you fail to obey, there are consequences. Let me close with this. My son, TJ, I was taking him out, and I was leaving my house, and I said, guys, why don't y'all come with me? I'm about to go out for a little while. My youngest son, Isaac, 6, said, yeah, Daddy, I'll come. I say, come on, buddy, let's roll. I went to TJ. I said, TJ, come on, man, let's go. TJ like, I don't really want to go right now, Dad. I'm watching Voltron. I say, what? I say, T, I'm about to go out. Why don't you come along with me? I didn't tell him where I was going. I say, man, why don't you come along with me? Well, if I have to go, Dad, I will, but I would rather stay home. I said, I tell you what, no, I'm not going to force you. Just go ahead and stay. I'll see you when I get back. I leave. He didn't know. I took Isaac with me. We went to go see a movie. Then I took him to go get pizza. And then I took him to go get ice cream after that. Watch this. Now, when I came home, you know what the youngest one did. TJ, me and Daddy went to the movie, and then we went to go get pizza, and then we went to go get some ice cream. What? Dad, that's not fair. Why'd you take him to go get ice cream? That's not fair, Dad. You didn't tell me. I said, TJ, I came to you several times, and I called you. You refused to come. And therefore, you missed it. Here's the question that I close with you. Imagine when you get to heaven, all of the benefits and the blessings that maybe you have missed out on because you refused to accept the calling that God had for you. Imagine all of the things and the ways that God wanted to bless you, to deliver you. You left at home, just like TJ. He left that pizza. He left everything to watch Voltron. That didn't even matter. How many of us are doing that today? Listen, whatever God has called you to do, you need to learn to be obedient to him and forget about all that other drama going on. Of course, stuff has to be dealt with, but stop running from what God has called you to do. It's funny. I know I got to close. I'm a little bit over. But that Sister Jody, just looking at her, reminded me. Anybody ever heard Jody speak? Do you know, and I think she has said this, do you know how long Jody ran? There were times I didn't even think Jody liked me anymore. Because I kept going to her like, there's an anointing on your life. There's an anointing on your life, Jody. You need to speak. Yeah, I hear you, Pastor. I'm going to get to it. I'm coming, Pastor. Oh, yes, I'm going to do it. 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 until finally I had to come to her in the same way how my daddy came to me and said, you are on this Sunday. That's it. Pastor, I need to pray for it. You ain't need to pray for it because I already prayed for it too. You on that Sunday. So you and God can pray all you want, but you on. Watch this. She would have ran away from her calling. And think about all, I tell her this all the time. Think about all the people who have been blessed by your gift that wouldn't be blessed by mine. Because you got to remember, there are many gifts in the bodies. There are some callings that I can't do. There are callings that are needed in this body that's not for me to do. And now she gets up and she ministers the word. And I not already told her, stop holding back. Because sometimes when you're ministering, you think you got to be like me. Oh, no, no, no. You got a different anointing. You got a different calling. Let it go. Some people ain't going to like it. Some people are going to look at you crazy. But you got to go ahead and let it go. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed.